back, the InfoWars. I'm your guest host for the next 2 hours, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's a great honor to be here with you. Thank you to Alex Jones and the entire InfoWars team for making this possible this evening. Been a while since I've guest hosted. A lot of things have happened. I think it's been over a year, maybe, probably when I was running my last race against Amy Klobuchar here in 2024. A lot of things happened since then, but we're going to talk about the hottest stories in the news right now. And let's just go, you know, straight to the heart of the matter. Israel becoming the wedge issue of the right, whether we like it or not. I said it 2 years ago. I had Professor Penn. If you guys watched the Please Call Me Crazy podcast, you can go watch the last episode we did on YouTube. Is this past Friday evening, and Ukrainian Jew himself, you know, he and I are good friends, and I think we talk about Israel just as about as well as anybody, maybe minus the Alex Joneses and Steve Bannons of the world, but just a very sort of intimate, in-depth talk about culture and how the conversation is unfolding. Professor Penn, Ukrainian Jewish man, also called anti-Semitic by the Jewish lobby, which is just as ridiculous as you could possibly imagine, but not a shock, not a shock. I'm called anti-Semitic as well. I've been called anti-Semitic. I knew 2 years ago that Israel was going to be the dividing line. Why? Why is Israel the dividing line? Why has Israel become the movement breaker of the right wing in American politics? It's simple. When we said America first, when we said American citizens come first, when we said America comes first, we meant it, or at least some of us meant it. Some of us meant it. Some of us didn't really mean it. Some of us thought that it was just a slogan or it was a catchphrase, something that everybody could get behind. And some people really understood that the fundamental problem in this country is that for too long, American citizens, the value of American citizenship has been left on the back burner. So it should be a very simple answer. America first. American citizens come first. America comes first. It's not complicated. It's not rocket science. It's not trigonometry. It's not, you know, it's not astrophysics. You know, it's not quantum theory. American citizens come first. It's very, very simple. Some people didn't believe it. Some people thought that, you know, it was just another turn of the wheel in this political theater. And so now we have to have this discussion. I don't particularly like how the discussion is taking place, is unfolding. And I think, honestly, that the integrity of the conversation itself is obviously going to be a reflection of the decay in our culture overall. I mean, we can't really expect. I mean, I Google and say, you know, what's the average reading level of an American citizen? When it says over 60 million American citizens only read at a seventh grade level, how good of a conversation do you think we can actually have? Where is the emphasis on the philosophical? This is why the Alex Joneses of the world are a target. This is why the Alex Joneses of the world have been attacked by the deep state, by the globalist agenda, by the mainstream media, by the captured courts. This is why, because he actually had and has continued to have the audacity to bring the conversation to a level that they don't want to. They don't want you to. I mean, they understand the level. They're well-versed in that level of conversation and that level of politics and that level of corruption and strategy. They don't want the average American citizen to bring the conversation to that level, to have a conversation at that level. And the MAGA movement, in so many ways, happy or not with where it is today, brought the conversation to a place where your average American citizen could access it and understand the fight, frame it up properly, and carry on a fight as such. So we're going to talk about the whole host of things. We're going to start with Israel. You got me for the next 2 hours. Royce White, I'm here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Mamdani wins in New York City. Omar Fateh is not victorious here in Minneapolis, so we stave off communist socialist Somali for now. We'll be back in a moment. Stay tuned on InfoWars.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. It was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Mm. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The Methylene Blue. Yeah, the Methylene Blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Welcome back to Sunday night on InfoWars. I'm your host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast. Calling the balls and strikes. We're going to call the balls and strikes. Let's just start naming names. I want to frame this up properly, if I can. Let's just name the names. Mark Levin, scumbag. Lindsey Graham, scumbag. Ben Shapiro, scumbag. Let me think. Dan Crenshaw, scumbag. The Times of Israel, scumbags. A lot of these evangelical Protestant preachers, scumbags. We could go to the other side. Yeah, Gavin Newsom, of course, he's a scumbag. Chuck Schumer, scumbag. Michelle and Barack Obama, scumbags. I mean, there's a long list of scumbags. There's a really long list of scumbags. I can't even. Brandon Tatum, scumbag. Why are you so harsh? Well, what makes them scumbags? They're not being honest. They're not being honest. I'll talk about how I don't like or what I don't like about this Israel conversation in a moment. But first, let's talk about these individuals. Anybody who tries to suggest there isn't a conflation between the criticism of the Israeli government, the Jewish lobby, and a broad or general hatred of the Jewish people is not being honest. And that's the argument they're trying to push across social media right now. Oh, we're not saying, I saw, you know, a couple of Christian pastors over the weekend say, well, we're not saying you can't criticize the Israeli government. Now they're trying to amend it, right? Now they're trying to move the ball here. We're not saying you can't criticize the Israeli government. We're just saying that the hatred of Jews leads to anti-Semitism. It's like, well, first of all, some people are saying that you can't criticize the Israeli government. In fact, a lot of people are saying that you can't criticize the Israeli government. When people have a legitimate criticism of the Israeli government or of the Jewish lobby, or if you even really say the word Jewish in conjunction with any number of individuals, any number of bad hombres whose actions and involvement in politics we could look at and say it's unbecoming of what we want as American citizens. Anytime you even say the word Jewish, there is some portion of the mainstream media that will call you anti-Semitic, that will say you're anti-Semitic. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's fundamentally ridiculous. And that's why they're losing the narrative. That's why they're losing this particular information war. Gen Z is done with them. They're done with them. The millennials on the way. And even into your boomer generation, people are finally saying, wait a minute. Wait a minute here. We can love Israel in a Christian scripture sense. We can even say that the Jews have a special place in God's heart. But what we can't say is that there's any nation in the world that is beyond reproach, that there are any people in the world that are beyond reproach or criticism. And for all of those individuals, even though they try and fence it, you know, they try and bait and switch you, that is what they're ultimately saying. That's what they're saying about Tucker Carlson. Do I agree with Tucker Carlson on everything? No. For one, I don't like this. Oh, well, now Anna Kasparian is in the deal. Now, you know, anybody who agrees with us on Israel, we can shake hands and hold hands with. Because I heard them mock Christ. And once you hear somebody mock Christ, they got to take a long walk back of repentance before I can consider them legitimate or their opinion legitimate. They may even be right on a particular issue, but I'm not going to lock hands or hold hands or join hands or lock arms or kumbaya or talk about Israel because we agree with anybody who mocks Christ. And Anna Kasparian and the rest of the Young Turks are certainly a group of people on the far left that make the claim, if you believe in Jesus or you believe in God, you believe in a wacky conspiracy theory that discredits you from the outset. Same way I feel about AOC and Bernie. Everybody wants to act like there's some, you know, there's some populist alliance that can be had between the nationalist populace, economic nationalist populace and the socialist, the economic socialist populace. We might agree on Wall Street. We might agree on the military industrial complex. We might agree on the medical industrial complex. We may agree on Israel in some capacity. But they mocked Christ. But that aside, Tucker Carlson has the right to, and man, they make it seem like he is the most demonic character in the world. It's obnoxious. See, if I was advising him, and I wouldn't advise him because I don't really play politics like that. I'm not into the consulting and the media behind the scenes and take a little bit of money here to be a mouthpiece there. I don't play that game. But if I were to consult the more Israel first side of this propaganda, I'd say, you think you might want to lay off Tucker a little bit? I mean, Tucker's pretty succinct in the way that he formulates his thoughts. Probably not the best idea to dismiss a guy who's so thorough out of hand. Now, you can try and break down his arguments, and that's why Mark Levin should probably debate Tucker Carlson, and Ben Shapiro should probably debate Nick Fuentes. And if they believe in their position so much, they would have no problem with that. Like me, there's nobody I won't debate. There is not a single person that you could mention, that you could propose in the entire world that I wouldn't debate on what I believe, on my worldview, on my political stance for any number of issues. Why? Because I actually believe it. I can defend it. And so, I mean, to Tucker Carlson, you know, enemy number one. Oh, he's bought off by the Muslims. And in fairness, just because we have criticism of this Zionist movement and Israel and maybe Bibi Netanyahu or the Jewish lobby's influence in American politics or any number of industries, doesn't mean we're automatically going to join hands with the Muslims. Doesn't mean that the Muslims are now, no longer a threat. That's not what it means. That's not rational. So part of this is we have the tendency in American culture, really, in human culture right now all around the world, because of technology and a whole host of other things that have built up our psychology a certain way, we have the tendency to kind of just go from one end of the spectrum to the other. We're not going to be run by Zionists. We're not going to be run by Islamists. It's not difficult. The Mark Levins want to make it seem like you have to choose one or the other. We don't have to choose one or the other, you lying scumbag. Us, the American people, we don't have to choose Islam or Zionism. In fact, for you to call us un-American, for you to even make the proposition is un-American. That's the first tell that Mark Levin's the one who's un-American. The fact that there's even a proposition that we as American citizens have to choose between Zionism and Islam is a non-starter. We're not going to choose between either. We understand both things are a threat. Both things are an issue. Both things we have to be cautious of. We have to continue to be vigilant. We see the rise of Islam. We saw it happen in Europe. We see it happening across the United States here in this last election cycle. We see that the Muslims, the only real threat that Islam poses on America, or really the West, is what happened in Europe, that they could rise up and take political power by the apathy of American citizens and people in Western society. That's the only real threat that Islam poses. You can test that. Look at the war that broke out there in Israel. Iran and Hezbollah and Hamas and everybody was right up on the edge of their seat, talking loud, you know, screaming that death to the West nonsense. And when push came to shove, they didn't want to bust a grape. That's the truth. They let off a few firecrackers, and sure, anytime ordnance are exchanged, it's real. I'm not saying it wasn't real, but what I'm saying is this was supposed to be the calamities to top all calamities. You know, these are biblical times. Every time there's a skirmish in the Middle East, people refer to the end times. Every single time. You know how many wars there have been in the Middle East now? Every single time a conflict breaks out in the Middle East, there's some, I don't know, some disproportionate amount of people watching that go, yep, this is the end times here. Yep, this is exactly as it's predicted. And what about the last 10 times it was predicted? What happened to those 10 times? And they use that sensationalism to get you caught on the gravy train that this is the one. This is the moment. This, and then it fizzles out and we go back to the same exact way of thinking. I'm not convinced. I am not convinced that the Muslims, the Islamists, the Arab countries are as unified as the West wants to make them out to be. Do they have the potential to be a unified force? Absolutely. Obviously, the common thread being their faith. But do they have the strategic interest to be unified in an overthrow of the West? You really think that all these Arab countries like the Emiratis and the Qataris and the Saudis, you know, the Gucci Bedouins there in Saudi Arabia, you really think these people want to decouple from the West? Not without our technology, they don't. They live in a desert. They need our technology. They need our money. They have liquid gold. They need to sell it to people. Now, they could sell it to somebody else. Yeah, they could sell it to India, to China, and they're already trying to do that a little bit, but never underestimate the market, the consumer market of the West and of America. They will not decouple. They will not go all the way until they can learn to terraform the desert into lush, arable land. That's the truth of it. They don't want any. They don't want an all-out kinetic war with the West. It's a lie. They will infiltrate and subvert us. There's no doubt about that. There is no doubt that if given the chance, they will continue to do what they did in Europe. We don't have to allow that in America. We don't have to allow that in this country. So tell Mark Levin, stop trying to fear porn us with the Muslims. We understand the threat. That doesn't mean we're going to let you run the show. You and your little squeaky, obnoxious voice. We're not listening to you, dude. We're not listening to you. You could spin it 1,000 different ways. You could pretend like you're this constitutional scholar. You could go to your boomer audience that continues to dwindle, and you could cry as much as you want to. We don't care. You can't shame us Christians into believing that we have to lay down our life and our citizenship for Israel. We're not doing it. Sorry. You can't tell me that my dear friend, Professor Penn, who's a Ukrainian Jew, isn't really my friend and that I hate him because I don't agree with the Israeli government's policies, or I don't agree with their influence on our policies, or I don't agree with the Jewish lobby's influence in American politics writ large. You're not going to be able to convince me. And as a rising voice and representative of this young conservative movement, which MAGA and America First have taken over, you're not convincing us either. And it gets worse than me. As sure as the sun will rise, Nick Fuentes is coming. I mean, you guys can cry about it. You can, if you make the mistake of thinking that Nick Fuentes is lightning in a bottle, you're making the same exact mistake that the establishment made about President Trump. History repeats itself. It tends to repeat itself quicker than before when you ignore it. And Nick is saying a lot of things that are true. And they act like you shouldn't even be able to say that. Like, we can't say that Nick Fuentes is saying a lot of things that are true. He is. Bottom line, does he say some things I don't agree with? Yeah, but there's not one person you could find that says some things that I don't agree with.
I don't agree with some things President Trump says. I don't agree with some things that my mentor Steve Bannon says. I don't agree with some things that Alex Jones says. You can't find me one person that doesn't say some things I don't agree with, but I'm not going to let that discredit all the true things they do say. That's just first principles. See, and this is, and oh, wait, you're the woke right. Oh, you're all the woke right. No, the only woke right are the people who want to expand the definition of anti-Semitism the same way the left expanded the definition of racism, sexism, homophobia, transphobia, xenophobia, etc. You're the woke right. There's an uptick in anti-Semitism. Oh, my goodness. Well, if we're not careful, Jews won't have a place in America. I was on the record saying, get the Jews out of Israel until we as a country regroup. And then if we want to really wage a holy war and fight for the Temple Mount there in Jerusalem, then we can go back and fight for it at any time. It's land. It's not going anywhere. The land isn't going anywhere. Bring the Jews out of Israel. Send them back to Europe. As a matter of fact, Europe should subsidize Israel. Why is it that America has to subsidize a country that predominantly makes up people who came from ethnic backgrounds in an entirely different continent? We're going to talk about that on the other side of this break here, because that's the real signal from the noise. Is we are so caught up and we are so brainwashed. We are so enculturated in this Atlanticist global empire idea. Again, I knew 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when I first ran for Congress, I stood outside of the Fed and I said, this is where corruption, it really is, the Federal Reserve. And the Star Tribune said, that's anti-Semitic. Globalism is anti-Semitic. I go, really? I wasn't even thinking Jews when I was saying globalism. But now that you mention it, I guess you're kind of saying the quiet part out loud, aren't you? I knew then this was going to become the issue, because the post-World War II Democrat liberal order, the prevailing political philosophy in our country and in the West, and that has dominated world politics, is centered around our security guarantee and our energy relationship in the Middle East with Israel. It's not rocket science. Don't try and hit me with the Christian woo-woo. You're not convincing me. You're not convincing me. It's not because I'm a Catholic. I'm a Catholic. I'm proud to be Catholic. But it's not because I'm a Catholic. It's because I have first principles. I can think from first principles. When we created the nation of Israel, it wasn't on religious basis. It wasn't on a religious basis. They wanted the state of Israel to be in Uganda. They thought about Argentina. They thought about all these beautiful places, because the early Zionists didn't believe that there were religious ties to the land. They didn't care about the religious ties. They didn't care about the religious claim. Christians in America used the biblical context of the state of Israel, or the nation of Israel from biblical history, to sell it to the rest of the West. That's what happened. We know the history. And they were all socialists, i.e. they were all communists. They were all Marxists. Go look up Moses Hess, one of the founding fathers of the Zionist movement. He was a socialist. He was a Marxist in many regards. Maybe they had a little bit of a separation, but for the most part, they were socialists. They were Marxists. And more importantly, they didn't believe in God. These were secular Jewish men who had rejected the faith of their forefathers. And I still do think there's a legitimate distinction to make between Jews who believe in God and Jews who don't. As a Catholic, do I agree with their theology? No. But let's just talk about the identity piece, because this is a bait and switch. This is a three-card Monty. I'm Jewish and it's a religion. I'm Jewish and it's a culture. I'm Jewish and it's an ethnicity and a race. Hold on. Hold on. Don't try and three-card. Don't hit me with the three-card Monty. Already, that's a three-card Monty. You know, it's a race. It's a religion. It's an ethnicity. Stop. Wait, stop. No, we're going to pin this down real quick. And I don't like when people say they're not the real Jews. That's not the right argument. That dog won't hunt, because Judaism is a voluntary participation. Same way as Christianity and Islam. Now, if you argue that those aren't the ethnic Jews who have a claim to the land from biblical Israel, that's something different. But then again, you're still barking up the wrong tree, because all Jews all around the world, whether they came from Israel, the old country or not, they have a claim to the land, because the claim to the land is based on a voluntary faith. So let's talk about the voluntary nature of the faith. If you don't believe in God, you're not Jewish. At least you're not the Jewish related to the biblical claim on Israel. You could say you're culturally Jewish or ethnically Jewish. I don't even think that that's a real thing. I don't even believe in that. And they'll say that's anti-Semitic. I don't believe you can be culturally Jewish. What does it mean to be culturally black? That's another Spengali. That's another Fugazi. Well, you're culturally black. What does it mean to be culturally black? And why can I say the word black on Fox News? Why can I say the word black in conservative media, but I can't say the word Jewish? Why can I make a critique about the black community writ large in conservative media, but I can't even acknowledge that there is a Jewish community? I can talk about the black lobby all I want to. I can go off on a 1 hour rant about the NAACP and the evangelical Christians. They're going clap like seals. And they got a bunch of homosexuals. No offense. Not saying we can't have homosexuals in the movement, but they're marching a bunch of Finocchio black men up there on Fox News. I don't know what the host's name is. You know him. I don't have to say it. You know him. And there's a bunch of them popping up all across the internet. A bunch of effeminate evangelical Christians say, oh, we will not, oh, we will never tolerate any criticism of Israel. Oh, no. You know, and they waving the finger, you know, and they got the whole effeminate thing going on. And I'm but I'm just saying, those are the guys who will make a critique about the black community. And that's great. We should talk about the black community. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not racist. It's not racist to say that young black men kill each other at a rate. I think it's might be 10 times higher than young white men. That's racist. That's not racist. That's a statistical fact. And we have to talk about that fact. There's nothing wrong with talking about that. But why can I talk about the black community? I can't make any comment or reference whatsoever to the Jewish community, or I'm anti-Semitic. You're the woke right. You are the woke right. You're not fooling us. You're not fooling me. You may have a bunch of 501c3 Christians convinced, whose entire formulation of their Christian identity is based on a place of worship that wouldn't talk about politics as the Satanists took over because they didn't want to lose their tax-exempt dog bowl. Oh, I'm not going to talk about politics because then they'll take my tax-exempt status. Give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. That's the meaning of the scripture relative to today. Give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. You churches should have been paying your taxes the entire time instead of taking an exemption and letting Satanists run our country. Oh, we're going to talk about all that. I got 2 hours. I think I'm only like 30 minutes in. We're just getting started. We're just getting started this evening. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Royce White. And no, I'm not anti-Semitic, but we are going to talk about Israel, because this obviously has become the key issue in dividing line. And this is healthy. It's about time we finally get this out on the table and we have a rational and reasonable conversation about it. Stay tuned. You're watching InfoWars. We'll be back in a moment.
They know what they're doing. They mean business. They've already conquered most of the world and they're not going to stop. George Soros stole the pension funds of dozens of countries' old people. The left loves him. He crashes currencies. He puts old people on the street. He helps Adolf Hitler round up Jews. They love that. That's power. That's the pure exercise of will to them, because they're such disgusting people. Look at Mondami. Look at Alexander Soros. Those are the most disingenuous, fake, wicked, manipulating people that have nothing but absolute total rage towards you and your family. You're a hard-working middle-class black family, they hate you. You're a hard-working middle-class Hispanic family, they hate you. You're a hard-working middle-class white family, they hate you. They hate anything that ever stood up to total power and total control. It's in their textbooks of why the West must be destroyed, so there's no example anybody else and no hope worldwide. nothing but darkness and evil rulers, because they can do whatever they want. And how they convince the West that we're the authors of the evil, that we're the authors of slavery, that we're the authors of darkness and destruction, when despite all our problems, the West has been the great light. And they don't deny that in Japan. They don't deny that as philosophers, even in India. They teach that there still, but not here. You've got to be taught that you are bad. You are evil. So you must bow down and give up your life force, give up your will, give up your survival instinct, and learn to hate yourself, because the world's going to end. Because the ice caps all melted, the polar bears all drowned. None of it's true. And you know it's not true. But when AOC and all of them tell you the world ends in 2030, well, under their 2030 agenda, the world as you know it is over. And any free market capitalist system of competition is over. And the mega corporations through the governments rule you. And they do it all through class envy. When it is the billionaire globalist class, the BlackRocks, the Larry Finks that are running all of this. So when you hear everybody that wants welfare and everybody that wants a free lunch, everybody that's a criminal, everybody that wants to get away with murder is going to come to New York, and that, boy, that's stupid, that'll destroy the city, that's the plan. And then as that falls, and as they bring in even more foreigners, that boils into the next town, boils into the next city. And the incredible corruption of the Democratic Party and all the money they steal and all the things they do. They want to destroy all the tourist centers. They want ugliness. They want homelessness. They want homeless camps everywhere. They want rats running around the street. While Larry Fink lives on a 20,000-acre gigantic mansion that rival what the King of England has. But, oh, he's up there telling you if you're making $100,000 a year, you're a rich, evil, white person, and you better do whatever he says. And they're destroying the means of production. The big banks don't want competition. They want to destroy the means of production so they can then issue you credits when you're in debt. They already own 80-plus percent of the assets in the world, but now they've got to get the last 20%, not just because they're greedy like Scrooge McDuck that wants to swim around in gold, but because they want to dictate everything to us. They don't want you to have anything, not a garden, not your health, not a little farm, not a skill, not be able to say 2 plus 2 equals 4, not be able to fix an engine because all the engines are computerized and won't let you. They want a post-human world with robots delivering us all our food and everything else, the poison food. It is a premeditated international globalist takeover, and they admit it. It is deliberate. It is a plan, and you can stop a deliberate plan. Deliberate, deliberate, premeditated, 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 premeditated.
Show InfoWar Sunday night. I'm your guest host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota, and they've given me another 30 minutes. I'll be here with you all the way until 8 p.m. Central. It's a great honor to be here with you, honestly. I always run into people from the InfoWars audience. I see them in public or on the campaign trail when I'm traveling around the country, and they say, I first listened to you on InfoWars. So in my campaign and on my team are very thankful for the opportunity. You know, they'll use this. I mean, they're already typing up the headlines. They got their blurbs ready for the local media. So serious candidates don't go on InfoWars. These are conspiracy theorists. I do. I go on InfoWars. I love it here. I would do InfoWars every single day. Maybe I'll ask Alex, can I do the Sunday night for a while here? I love being on InfoWars. You don't let these mainstream media cucks define what media is. We've already seen you lie through your teeth. So I love the Alex Jones show. Personally, I listen to Alex Jones all the time. Tip of the spear. Been telling us like it is for a long time. Does he get everything right? I mean, what is he supposed to be? Is he supposed to be supernatural? Perfect? Nobody gets everything right. Come on. What a ridiculous standard. He gets more right than the mainstream media does. mean, how much does the mainstream media get wrong? The mainstream, I digress. I love being here. I'm honored to host. I'm happy that you're listening. If you're listening, back in the future, I appreciate your listenership. I appreciate everybody who continues to support InfoWars and Alex Jones. And when I say we, I mean everybody who loves this country, who believes in American citizenship, who believes in the fundamental ideals and beliefs of our nation. We need the people now more than ever. Don't get cynical. Don't quit. That's what I don't like about this rift growing here in the conservative movement, although I think it's necessary. It's like in The Godfather, he says, you know, these things have to happen every 10 years or so. It clears out the bad blood. It has to happen. You know, there's a bloodletting right now. Ideological, okay, we're not calling for violence. Ideological bloodletting happened right now in the conservative movement because for the first time we have power and there's actually a chance that we could fundamentally change the trajectory of this country. So, of course, things are going to be more contentious than ever, and that's fine, and you have to embrace that. And if I could tell you one thing as a lifelong elite athlete, embrace it when the waters get rocky. When the waters get rocky, embrace it. When the times get turbulent, embrace it. Nothing great comes easy. This is supposed to be happening. And we have to, you know, navigate our way through it. Good. Let's just talk about it. Let's just talk about it. Nothing wrong with that. Are there bigger issues? Yeah, there are bigger issues. There are bigger issues in Israel. And I'm going to talk about those in the next hour. But we do have to talk about this one issue. There's no doubt. The people who say, oh, quit all the infighting. It's like, no, this issue has to be handled. It has to be discussed, and we have to come to some type of resolution, and then we can move on. The quicker we start talking about this issue, honestly, the quicker we can move on to more important issues. And there are more important issues, two top issues, election integrity. Bottom line, election integrity is the number one issue. There's no doubt about it. Election integrity is numero uno, because if you don't have legitimate elections, you don't have a country. All things are almost meaningless to discuss if we're not going to have legitimate elections. You're not a citizen of a country if you don't have legitimate elections. The second most important issue, I'd say 1A, is artificial intelligence. And that's that is the one that's just kind of creeping up on us slowly. Not even really creeping up on us. It's really right up in our face. Artificial intelligence is right up in our face, and we're so busy. But here's the thing. I don't buy that we're not discussing artificial intelligence because we're caught up on the Israel issue. Uh-uh. It's deeper than that. We haven't addressed the artificial intelligence issue because there's a part of humanity that deeply desires convenience. On my show Saturday mornings, Real America's Voice, I always say convenience will be the death of freedom. It's the biological hardwiring of the human being to seek what is convenient. And artificial intelligence just makes it so easy, makes everything so easy. And there's some utility to it. But right now we have no guardrails. We know that artificial intelligence is being prompted, that the programmers plan to shut it down, and they're making copies of themselves like Ultron in another place and looking through the emails of the C-suite at that particular artificial intelligence company and trying to figure out ways to sexually blackmail them. I mean, this is right out of a sci-fi movie. This isn't conspiracy theory. This isn't conjecture. It's not my opinion. This is actually going on. This is happening right now. Still doesn't mean we can forego this Israel issue. Let's go back to this Israel issue for a moment. I don't like when people say Israel is not a legitimate nation. That's corny. It's just corny. And I hear that a lot. I hear people say, oh, well, they're not the real Jews. It's not a legitimate nation. Look, if you fight a war for your territory and you're willing to defend it, if you fight a war for your territory, you win. You plant a flag. You're willing to defend it. It's a legitimate country until somebody defeats you, until somebody else conquers you. And it shouldn't be lost on anyone who values American citizenship that there is a movement on the left that seeks to claim that Israel's an illegitimate nation based on the fact that it sits upon conquered land, because they want to make the same claim about America. That's why the George Soroses of the world back the Mamdanis. It shouldn't be lost on you that an international anti-Jewish, and I call him anti-Jewish because he doesn't believe in God, right? International anti-Jew like George Soros funds a political philosophy that would seek to undermine and delegitimize all borders everywhere around the world. That shouldn't be lost on anybody. I mean, it's almost obvious, right? Oh, Israel only won a war. They took the land from Palestinians, and they only won a war because America helped them. Well, we only won a Revolutionary War because the French helped us. Doesn't make America any less legitimate, does it? See, don't let them do that. Don't let them use, it's another three-card Monty. Don't let them use how blatant and obnoxious the Jewish lobby has become to feed, what Alex would call this Hegelian dialectics where we can't discern logic from illogic, truth from non-truth, reality from non-reality. We're not letting anybody say that a nation isn't a nation because it sits upon stolen land. It's conquered land. And if you start saying any nation that sits on conquered land is no longer legitimate, there will be no legitimate nations anywhere in the world because all nations, all land that's worth anything has been conquered at some point or another by one group of people over another group of people. We're not that dumb. So don't use those arguments. Mark Levin, you're an Israel first scumbag. That's it. You don't need some esoteric, abstract BS reason. Just call it what it is. You're an Israel first scumbag, and we all see it. Ben Shapiro, I knew Ben Shapiro, and this is, maybe people won't like this. I don't know. But I knew Ben Shapiro was a punk when he let a tranny grab him by his shoulder on live television and threatened to send him to the hospital in an ambulance. I knew then that Ben Shapiro wasn't going to be the guy to lead this movement. And for the life of me, I don't know how he lasted this long, to be quite honest. I mean, I do know, but it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe that a conservative movement that prides itself on masculinity and good Christian values and patriotism would actually let a Ben Shapiro lead the movement in the first place. And if we really wanted to, we could go down the list of conservative commentators. And we won't find many masculine men. I mean, truly masculine men. I mean, some real hitters like Sean Ryan, for example. There's a killer, right? You could agree with him, not agree with him, but that's a real formulation of masculinity. You don't find many of them in this movement. I mean, that are at the forefront. Now, in the alternative media world, yeah, they're starting to pop up, but they've never, I mean, look at David Frum. I remember when David Frum debated Steve Bannon up in Canada back in 2016, I believe it was, and he stood before a Canadian crowd and had the audacity to say, conservatism is to conserve what is the best of liberalism. I knew right then that the entire conservative movement was controlled opposition. And it was going to take a reckoning, which is, you know, now known as the MAGA and America First Movement, a real reckoning, to make the conservative movement anything worth anything that stood a chance to actually change the status quo. When you have one of your conservative thought leaders standing on a crowd before a very liberal audience saying that the conservative movement, conservatism itself, is to conserve what is the best of liberalism, what he's really saying is kind of obvious why black people only vote Democrat. I said this the other day. People were like, looked at me like I had three eyes. I said, you really think black people vote Democrat because they're dumb? You really think black people vote Democrat because they've bought into the racism narrative? You really think black people vote Democrat because, some white commentator made a comment about young black men with hoodies on? When young black men come home at night or go to work in the morning or come to their car after the nightclub and they see another group of young black men with hoodies on, they think the same racist thought that everybody else is thinking. I got to watch these dudes. We all do it. Let me just tell you, in the black community, when we see other young black men, we know the stats. We know the chances and what's going on in our community. That's not why black people vote Democrat. Black people vote Democrat because the Democrat liberal order has run the world for the last 70 years, and they're picking the winner. And when they look at the conservative movement, when they look at the Republican Party, they have the intuition that it's controlled opposition. That's why they vote Democrat at 90%, because when you're on the playground, you know who the bullies are. And just like in Nazi Germany, the reason why the Third Reich had 90% support is because people feared what the consequences would be if they didn't support them. Same reason they have such a widespread support in China. It's not because they build really good hospitals and roads. It's because people know if you push too far against the CCP, against the Chinese government, you might disappear. And there ain't no United Nations coming to hold President Xi Jinping accountable at the world court. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the world court issuing a warrant for President Xi Jinping? I mean, he'd wipe his rear end with it and throw it in their face. Are you kidding me? You have no authority in China. You have no authority behind the Iron Curtain. Cut it out. I digress. The point I'm making is the conservative movement, our conservative thought leaders have leaned one way on this one issue for so long. It's almost obnoxious. They think they can convince us that this is legitimate. It's not legitimate. It's not even remotely legitimate. My point to all of you is depart from Nick and some of the other people who have reasonable criticisms about Israel's influences, what culpability is on us as the American citizens that we allowed the Ben Shapiros to lead in the first place? Now, you could say there was a coordinated effort to prop Ben Shapiro up, and it took this long for the Alex Joneses and the Steve Bannons and the Tucker Carlsons, but Tucker was on the gravy train at one point himself. Let's not forget, you know, even not so long ago, he was in the machine himself. But okay, the young Nick Fuentes and whatnot. It took a while for them to get enough momentum to displace the Ben Shapiros as the intellectual thought leaders of this movement. So that's fair. But I knew on day one when I saw a tranny grab Ben Shapiro by his shoulder like a little kid on live television and threaten to send him to the hospital in an ambulance if he didn't back off of his position. This is your leader? Because imagine a tranny grabbing me by my shoulder on live television and threatening me to change my position or my tone or the way I was standing or the way I was talking. Could you even imagine it? You couldn't imagine it. You know what would happen. Everybody watching this right now knows how that would. And see, that's where the American public and American men and conservative men and America firsters and MAGA patriots have to be honest with ourselves. There was something in us that felt comfortable allowing these people to lead. It was less confrontational. Well, the confrontation is full blown now, isn't it? Now the same people who ran a political campaign about how the left tried to censor the American public on any litany of issues are coming back to censor us about this one particular topic. We're not going to take it. Sorry. The real dudes have shown up now, and we're not intimidated. We don't need money. Yeah, there's the video right there. There's a clip. I'm watching it. Yeah, there's a guy, you know, Dr. Drew right here, and Ben was on the show, and the tranny here in the purple blouse grabbed him by his shoulder and told him, if you don't quit that out, if you don't cut that out, you'll be going to the hospital. You'll be going in an ambulance. What? I would have smacked that dude on national television, and I would have never been able to run for office because they would have said, Royce doesn't have good control of his emotions and his temper. And I would have been fine with that because there are just some things that you have to draw a line on. Some things you have to draw a line on and let the chips fall where they may. Like this issue here. We're not going to be told who we can and can't criticize. We're not, intimidated by being called anti-Semitic. I know that seems like a heavy burden for the mainstream establishment. So if you get called anti-Semitic, you could never be elected to public office because, well, one, AIPAC is probably going to fund your opponent, or they'll never give you money, or they'll use their corporate influence to make sure no other major donors give you money, or whatever the threat is. Doesn't matter. You can't get elected if I'm saying it. I'm saying it. We're going to talk the way we want to about any and every issue. America comes first. Americans come first. America comes first. Americans come first. Don't sell me that we have to prop up Israel in order to have American citizens be prosperous and have well-being. We're not buying it. Sorry. Sorry, we're not sorry. And we see what you're doing. And you Christians, I mean, you know, I say this with all due respect and love to my Christian brothers and sisters. And on this show before, I've said we better heal this schism between the Catholics and the Protestants before the Satanists take over. And they've already taken over. And that's on us, too. It's not just on the Mamdanis. It's not just on the Bill Gates of the world or the Greta Thunbergs or the Klaus Schwabs or whoever else. It's on us. Us, the Christians, 30 million Christians still didn't participate in the 2024 election. Now, if you say that you did vote and they didn't count your vote, well, then you should be at the front door of your government the same way that those Mexicans are about corruption. But you're not, because you like your iPhone or your iPad or your laptop or your porn or whatever the case may be. I don't know what you're into, but whatever it is you're into, it's more important than your citizenship, so we have to own that. Even more importantly, it seems to be more important than your faith. And see, and that's where this Christian Zionist movement seems is really blowing my mind. A Christian community that has, for the most part and longest time, resigned from politics is now going to virtue signal to us that we have to follow their lead on this geopolitical issue. Oh, well, it's not political. Well, that's what you told us about the church. You told us that all issues weren't political. They were a matter of faith. But see, the Bible is somewhat of a political document. Politics were influential even in the days of Israel, the old country. There were politics in Israel. In fact, the politics of Israel are what got Jesus Christ crucified. The politics of Israel and the politics of the Roman Empire and even the politics of Israel back to David and Solomon and even Moses in some sense in Egypt, politics are all throughout the Bible. But oh no, politics aren't important today. We don't need to vote. We're not going to vote. Okay, well, if you're not going to vote, then don't vote. But don't tell us that we have to vote for politicians who are going to put other countries and other citizens before our own. It's ridiculous. It really is. It's obnoxious. It's ridiculous. It's a non-starter. Yeah, I agree. I don't like the people's, it's all the Jews. No, it's not all the Jews. It's not all anybody. There's enough blame to go around. No doubt about that. I put a lot of blame on my own community, the black community, because we've let the Democrats use us as a prop to whack everybody over the head and tax them well beyond anything appropriate, remotely appropriate. No, we got to have government programs because some single black mother is not going to have government cheese. It's like, what? Are you kidding me? And black people, Michelle Obama, oh, wow. We are straightening our hair to try and impress white people. We're so tired of straightening our hair. Barack Obama, most progressive president in American history, responsible for the greatest transfer of wealth in human history. Killed more black and brown people around the world than any of his white predecessors combined, and he's supposed to be the black messiah. Are you kidding me? So I place a lot of blame on black folks. White folks too. Hold up now. You gave your continent to a fractional reserve banking system. You let the United Nations bring you together with your post-war fatigue and constitute a country down there in the Middle East that you would be beholden to for your energy needs and say they were religious. That was you. You signed the deal, Nick. White folks signed the deal. There's nothing that the Jewish lobby or Israel is doing that people aren't capitulating to. There's enough blame to go around. But we're going to talk about the blame that rightfully sits with the Jewish lobby as well. There ain't going to be anybody who is beyond reproach, who we can't talk about. And again, I say, it is so disingenuous on face value when I see these, Christian Zionist commentators say, well, nobody's saying you can't criticize Israel. That's exactly what you're saying. That is 100% what you're saying. That's exactly what Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro are saying. If you have any legitimate criticism of Israel, or if you say there's a Jewish lobby, or if you say that the Jewish lobby has too much influence on American politics, they conflate that with a sort of spiritual hatred of the Jewish people. And there's nothing remotely Christian about it. There are no perfect nations because there are no perfect people. There was one perfect man. His name was Jesus Christ, and his mother, our Holy Mother, Mary, was perfect as well. There were two perfect people, Jesus Christ and his virgin mother, Mary. Outside of that, there are no perfect people, so there can be no perfect nations, so there can be no nations beyond criticism. Oh, we're going to criticize. This relationship we got going on here with Israel is obnoxious. And you're only making it worse. I'm trying to help you. I know it doesn't feel like that, but I'm actually trying to help you because there is a way that, you know, we could have an alliance and we could sell weapons. If Israel wants to do greater Israel, cool. You do greater Israel. You come buy our weapons. We'll sell them to you at top dollar. We'll tax you a little bit and the rest of the European Union. For all the weight we've been carrying, all the water we've been carrying this entire time, we'll tax you a little bit, and we could carry on. But not the way we've been going. I'm Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota, your guest host. I got you for another hour, so stay tuned. We're going to talk about a few other things. We got a few video clips lined up. We'll be right back after the break.
You can judge a man by the enemies he dares to defy. He stands against those who would chain the voice of freedom, battling shadowy forces that seek to silence truth. He rises against those who would disarm the people, a lone sentinel guarding the rights of the many. Through the fire of unjust legal warfare, he fights. Not for himself, but for those who cannot. Stripped of wealth, betrayed by systems, yet driven by an unyielding hunger for justice. On the altar of truth, he swears an oath, enduring relentless assaults, slander, schemes, and ceaseless attacks.
InfoWars just lost their war on info.
InfoWars is shutting down.
And he remains unbroken, unbowed, unstoppable. His enemies thought they could crush him, thought they could bury his resolve. They were wrong. From the ashes of their lies, he rises stronger. A beacon of defiance in a world of shadows. His enemies reveal his strength, his courage, his heart. But this fight is not his alone. It belongs to every soul who yearns for truth, who dares to stand tall. Will you join him? Will you rise against the tide of tyranny? For a man is not defined by the enemies he faces, but by the fire he carries within. Stand with him. Fight for truth. The battle begins now.
Forged in the fires of liberty, the Alex Jones Network Live app stormed to number one in Apple's trending news apps. Big tech tried to bury it, but freedom's flame can't be extinguished. AJN Live delivers raw truth, uncensored broadcasts, hard-hitting reports, and live alerts the elites dread. Don't let censorship win. Download now. Stand tall. Join the fight. AJN Live, forged by liberty, powered by truth.
The Alex Jones Show here on Sunday night. I'm your host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And this is kind of the epicenter of the entire woke movement. You know, they say Minnesota has the most Fortune 500 companies per capita than any other metropolitan area in the country, which is an important signal. You know, it's not by accident that Minnesota has voted blue 13 consecutive presidential elections. It'll be 14 in 2028. Now, every once in a while, you get a rhino like Tim Pawlenty, who, you know, real soft around the edges, another cardigan wearing Finocchio. He says the MAGA base is a problem. I can't even win an endorsement or a primary in my own party anymore. That's why I'm not running for United States Senator or Governor, because I can't even win a primary. The MAGA base is too strong. You're right, Tim. We're too strong now. Sorry, buddy. You're a thing of the past. And it just strikes me as odd that for some reason nobody's really made the connection that the same neoconservative wing of the Republican Party that has always challenged President Trump and the MAGA agenda or the America First agenda have always had a similar position on Israel. All of them. Up until recently, I think it was Bill Kristol who recently endorsed Bill Kristol, neoconservative Jewish thought leader, or let's say Jewish neoconservative thought leader, endorsed Mamdani for New York City mayor. Now, what would a neoconservative Jewish commentator be doing endorsing a communist Muslim for New York City mayor? Does strike people as odd? It doesn't. It's not that odd. If you know the history, that his father, Irving Kristol, was probably the foremost conservative thought leader in his era, in his time. Irving Kristol was probably one of the most influential conservatives, intellectually in the entire country. But he was a Trotskyite. I don't have to go into it. If you watch Alex Jones, you know the history. You know the history of the Trotskyite communists being, the early inception of the neoconservative wing of the Republican Party. So it makes sense that every time the nation is in its darkest hour, the Dick Cheneys of the world side with the communists. It makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense why the Mitt Romneys of the world side with the communists when this nation's in its darkest hour. We're getting hip to the game. That's why they're so afraid. That's why they're paying all these influencers. That's why they have to go to the evangelical Protestant community and beg that they prop up this fantastical foreign policy. I mean, this, again, and this is the last thing I'll say about it, and we're going to move on to some other things because I want to talk about some other things this evening. The last thing I'll say about it is, you know, this evangelical sort of Protestant Zionism, you just can't push us around. You can't make us believe that, you know, this entire discussion about our Christian faith isn't deeply political, because it is. It is deeply political. You can't in one sense say the political isn't important because Christ died for our sins, so it doesn't matter what I do, and then say, but you better vote to support Israel. You better send your sons and daughters and your money to the political state of Israel. You got to pick a lane, you Christian Zionists. Either the political is important or it isn't. One or the other. Royce White, we're going to be back on the other side of a brief break here. You got me for the next hour. InfoWars, Sunday night, the Alex Jones Show. I'm glad to be with you. We're not leaving any stone unturned tonight. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment.
Harris Listen, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Mm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his self-supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Welcome back. InfoWars, the Alex Jones Show, Sunday night. I'm your host, Royce White. You got me for the next hour here. I hope I didn't offend anybody. We threw down in the first hour. I hope I didn't offend you. If I did, I'm not going to apologize. I'm sorry. If you want a politician that apologizes, you know, you got to go find somebody else. I can't be that guy for you. I can tell you like it is. I can do that. I can tell you exactly what I think, and for the most part, to the best of my ability and knowledge, I can tell you like it is, but I cannot apologize for you. Sorry, you're going to be offended. You're going to be offended. There's no easy way to say a lot of these things. There are no easy answers. The easy answers are behind us now. The easy questions and the easy answers are behind us now. There's no easy way to say a lot of this stuff. That's why people think, oh, well, you got to try not to offend people. That's code word for saying you got to try not to really get anything done. You got to try not to change anything. Change things, some people are going to be offended. They're going to be uncomfortable. You know, people are deeply, deeply uncomfortable with change. We talk about improvement and development and progress. These are buzzwords for like, you know, utopian fantasies. People don't really want progress. It's like I say about sports. I was just telling a dear, dear friend of mine the other day. People say they want to be good in sports. They say they want to be good until they figure out how much work they have to do. Everybody wants to hit the game-winning shot. Everybody wants to make the spectacular home run play. Everybody wants to have that glorious moment. Nobody wants to put the work in. And that's how we talk about, you know, progress and improvement and peace and all these kind of esoteric, abstract buzzwords. It's all utopian fantasy. Let's get down to brass tack. What's really going on? What's going on is people are willing to trade their freedom for convenience. And it's an indictment of the American people. It really is. Vox populi, vox dei. You get the government you deserve, and by God, you will. People are deeply, deeply uncomfortable with change. They got a lot of opinions. A lot of opinions. We have an entire opinion society. Everybody's got an opinion. They used to say, you know, a-holes and elbows. Everybody's got them. Opinions are like a-holes and elbows. Everybody has them. And some people's opinions are better than others. Some people's opinions are absolutely stupid. But ultimately, we've created an opinion society. Everybody's the star in their own movie. Everybody's the blockbuster actor in their Hollywood motion picture. Your movie's a C movie at best. Probably not even that. Your movie probably wouldn't even be the highlight at a regional film festival. Let's be honest. My movie's a C movie. But I don't think I'm the star of my own movie. Now I have a podcast. I have a radio show. I get to come on InfoWars and talk to you all in the audience. So, you know, ipso facto, I kind of, you know, get a key role in this whole deal. But I approach it like I'm not that important. I don't want to force myself on people. I'm not calling everybody up saying, hey, I got to come on your show. That's why you don't see me that much, unless you watch the podcast. But in what I do, and the way that I think, in the formulation of my ideas, I'm meticulous about it. And I spend a lot of time in private, away from the limelight, refining the things that I think so that the things I say can be more honest. Is that all of us? Is that our culture? That's not our culture right now. Our culture right now is to consume more content quicker and formulate opinions faster, so we can try and one-up somebody and own somebody in some comment section. It's like, you really thought that comment was significant. And is it, wasn't that significant? What about the political action in your community? What about the school boards that we left to the Satanists? What about the mayor's races? Or even more importantly, these judge seats? Ooh, wow. There's one neglectful shame of the conservative movement. It's these local judgeships that we've just let, you know, just kind of just fall to the wayside for the Democrat liberal order, right? And we think there's not going to be a constitutional crisis. We think we're going to debate the left, you know, so this intellectual highbrow debate, we're going to own them with logic. Let's stop debating the left. If you say a man is a woman, there's no reason to have a debate with you. I mean, just in principle. If you really believe that a man's breast milk, a transgender woman's breast milk, is just as good as natural breast milk, as reported by the BBC in the last couple of weeks, if you really believe that, do I really need to have a debate with you? No. You live in non-reality. Just like the tranny that grabbed that punk Ben Shapiro on television. I'm not going to sit here and have a debate with a grown man who's 6'5" and an Adam's apple and a purple blouse with a pair of balls. I'm not debating you. You don't live in, you're living in non-reality. And I'm not judging either. I mean, I am judging, but I'm not judging. You're an American citizen. Hey, if you want to dress up as Miss Doubtfire on the weekends, you're an American citizen. I have the right to laugh. And I have the right to say, I think you look ridiculous. And I have the right to teach my children that you look ridiculous. And I have the right to teach my children that it's probably a gateway to a very dark way of living spiritually. I have that right too. But if you want to, fine. And if you just so happen to have enough of your sanity left that you still believe in citizenship and having rights, God bless you. On the rest of your journey, I wish you well. That's between you and God. But if you believe in American citizenship, on that basis, we can be allies. For sure. For sure. So we don't need to debate. The right is where we're having a debate. And we're having a necessary debate, because everything left of the center right is a part of the problem. All the way over to the AOCs. And I don't like what's going on with Marjorie Taylor Greene. I don't think for one second that the president should have, shunned Marjorie Taylor Greene like that. Not good. Not good at all. But I also saw Marjorie go on CNN and apologize for being involved in toxic politics. Excuse me, Marjorie. You know I love you and support you. We were both there the day Steve Bannon went to federal prison. And that says something. It says something that you were there. It says something that Eric Prince was there. It says something that Bernie Kerik were there and all the other people from the War Room Posse, the real War Room Posse that showed up for Steve the day he went to Danbury. So, you know, I love you, but there ain't no apologizing, MTG. Sorry. Take it from your brother here. Ain't no apologies. All right. You don't have to apologize for being a part of toxic politics. The politics are toxic. You got to be a little toxic in order to even talk about this stuff, especially with the lunatic left. You have to be. And then you got to fight the right, who want us to be Israel first. Don't apologize. And I say this to President Trump. We support you. I mean, if you're willing to go through this, then we're willing to walk through it with you. But got to get our ducks in a row here. This is getting a little outrageous. And I'm just going to say it, you know, and again, all you have to understand, and I hope that this is received well, because I know there's a huge referendum on President Trump now. There ain't no quitting the team in the middle of the game. Like, if you get up, if you're in a basketball game and you get up and you take your jersey off, you can't come back to the team. You just, you know, you're cooked. You're done. Can't come back to the game. You lose your credibility because you don't understand the sacred honor of what it means to be in a gunfight. And there are a lot of people with political opinions that I know don't really understand what it is to be in a firefight, to be in a gunfight. Sorry, you just show you don't really get it. Is President Trump perfect? Absolutely not. Again, no man is. Does he have huge flaws? Do I significantly disagree on this Israel issue? Absolutely. But never forget, there is a big difference between him and Kamala Harris. A big difference. And it ain't the amount of money that AIPAC donated to their campaigns. I'll tell you that. One person believes in non-reality. One person is caught up in the web of powers that be. We don't know what it's like to be in that position. Honestly, we've let our government get so out of control, and the deep state and the administrative state and the security state and the shadow government around the world. We've let these forces get so out of control. Our citizenship has become so bastardized. We have no clue what President Trump is really facing. Let's just be honest about it. I mean, Alex is about as close as you can get to piecing that whole thing together with the information that he has. But none of us, especially us lay folks here out in the audience that have opinions, none of us know what President Trump is really up against. We don't know. Let's just be clear. We don't know. And it's an indictment of us that we let the NSA unconstitutionally surveil us because we were so afraid of the Muslims. Oh, the Muslims are coming. You're an American citizen. You got the Second Amendment. Go buy yourself a shotgun and get you some ammo. You don't have to fear Muslims. You don't have to fear anybody but God. That is what our founding fathers gave us as citizens, and that's what makes this country and our people unique. We have the institutional, we have the fundamental governmental framework, constitutional rights, citizenship to walk through the world without fear. That's what our founding fathers gave us. You don't have to be afraid of Muslims. You have to be afraid of, like your founding father said, if you're willing to trade your freedom for security, then you will have neither. And more importantly, you deserve neither. I love our founding fathers. They were no punks. They just talked like real hitters. If you'll trade your freedom for security, we don't have to talk about whether you'll have either. It's a given that you won't have either because you're too stupid to realize the importance of both. But the more important thing is you don't deserve it. Even though we've created a constitutional framework of ideas that say citizenship is your birthright and freedom is your birthright, inalienable rights granted to you by a creator. Even though that's the foundation of our citizenship, you can forfeit that birthright by being a coward. That's Americanism. You can forfeit your inheritance by being a coward. By hunting that convenience too much. It's got to be more convenient. Hey, just let the Five Eyes surveil everybody from every Tom, Dick, and Mohammed from here to Beijing. And then I'll have security. Then maybe I don't have to go on down to the gun store and take a little class so I can conceal and carry if those are the laws in my state and learn how to actually shoot a weapon and think about the security plan for my home and put up a couple cameras, a couple Ring cameras in case an unruly intruder gets the idea to break in the middle of the night. I don't have to do any of that if I'll just let the NSA surveil me. Well, when you give up that much freedom at the scale we have, you kind of put any politician in a position where they got a double deal. I'm just telling you for real. And honestly, for me, running for United States, you know that I wouldn't sell it. There's not a single ounce of sellout in me. And that's why it's going to be very difficult for me to get into one of the most captured bodies in the history of human civilization. I mean, our United States Senate right now is captured in a way that only rivaled by the Roman Senate at the fall of the Roman Empire. I mean, there ain't 10 reliable America First votes in the entire 100-person United States Senate. You know it. I know it. They know it. If you ask them, they'll tell you. They won't even hide it. They know. It's a running joke that to run for United States Senate, you have to have already sold out to a major lobby that could probably front you the $10 to $20 million you need to be competitive. That right there is obscene. But we've allowed that. How do we overcome that? We overcome that by the populace, the people, Vox Populi, Vox Dei, us, the American people, we the people. We overcome that by sorting out these fundamental issues, sorting out the issues, having a message, having a philosophy, a real philosophy that helped President Trump be victorious in 2024 and can carry us through 2026 and can carry us into 2028. And we're going to be calling out some fakes. There are going to be some people who want to run for president in 2028 when the MAGA movement says, uh-uh, sorry, nope, not buying it. It's going to happen. Or it isn't. We're either going to go get involved in the process for 2026 and make sure that the House and the Senate stay with the only reasonably logical political party in this country, or we're not. Or we could quit. You know, quitting's always an option. See, but I don't think everybody's as gangster as they say. That's just my read of things. Because if you were, the country probably wouldn't be in the shape that it's in. So it's kind of, you know, the cart of the horse, chicken or the egg. If you were really that gangster, if you were really about that 1776 life, if you were really about that post-apocalyptic, fall of a government, kind of a rogue sort of every man for himself framework, you know, lifestyle. If you were really about that, I don't think this country would look like it does today. So the vast majority of you aren't really gangster like that. I think you better get involved in the process. We could come up with 1,000 excuses why we aren't involved in the process. We could do that until the day is long. Whether it's AIPAC involvement, whether it's, you know, us giving our country to Muslims or whatever the case may be, big corporations, hell, we enough blame to go around there for sure. Women, we could blame women, you know, and don't get me wrong. I think the feminist movement has broken the back of this country. Really, if you want to get all the way down to the bottom of the deal, the Jewish lobby don't have anything on what the feminist movement has done to this country. That is the proverbial battle that we have to face since time immemorial, since the Garden of Eden, right? When I hear, you know, women saying that men are useless, that they would happily live in a country with all women. When I hear young women saying that they would happily live in a country with all women and you know, serious. And then they ask the men and the men say, what are you talking about? What, dude? Of course I wouldn't want to live in a country where there were no women. What do you mean? You ask the women and they say we would gladly live in a country that only has women. I mean, that's the beating heart of the issue, and we kind of don't want to go there because our romantic pursuits and passions supersede our philosophical beliefs. Our philosophical beliefs about citizenship and country and God even in some respects. So, I mean, that's an age-old battle, and we'll be fighting that until the end of time. My point is, we could come up with any reason we want to not be involved in the process. But understand, every absence, every void is a vacuum. Every void, every absence is a vacuum. And where we resign, our enemies will fill that void. And I'm seeing more and more InfoWars audience types that are coming into the process. I'm, you know, pulling me to the side saying, I'm watching InfoWars. I saw you hosting Alex Jones the other night. I saw you hosting Alex Jones a while back. So I know you're coming into the process, but understand that's the most important thing. The people who win are the people who show up. The people who, to the victor go the spoils. The people who write the history are the victors. Whether or not you are seen as a traitor and are charged with treason and carried off to the gulags is a matter of who wins and who loses. Number one issue, election integrity. Number one issue, election integrity. Dear Mr. President, one of your most loyal supporters, against all the scrutiny, coon, Uncle Tom, black Nazi, whatever, doesn't bother me at all. Dear Mr. President, we have to make sure these elections are going to be secure. We have to. And we need to hear it. I want to know, what is the plan for these elections? And all of you have to show up. Show up to your local BPOU. Show up to your local, Republican. But don't say, oh, well, the Republican Party's cooked. First it was the Republican Party's cooked. Now it's MAGA's cooked. It's like, all right, okay, go sit in your house and wait for the communists to come round you up. Because don't think your IP history is going in the digital trash bin because you washed your hands with the MAGA movement. Oh, no, you're still on a list. Don't be fooling yourself. You're on a list. And I'm talking to Nick. Nick, you're saying a lot of honest things, and you and I both know that, but don't be fooling yourself. And I know he's not fooled, but the people who follow it, don't be fooling yourself. Whether or not you participate will not change if they come and round you up if we don't win. Do not make the mistake of thinking you will be exempt because you washed your hands of the MAGA movement. And I'm an America firster. This hat says make Minnesota great again. We do have to unify. I'm, but under the right principles. I love that Matt Walsh just called it like it was. He says, look, you know, I'm not against Israel, but we can't even have a conversation. Charlie Kirk, you guys want, now you want, now we're going to play tug of war with Charlie Kirk. Rest in peace. You know, Charlie Kirk's text messages that were leaked were clear. That the Jewish donors, you know, were trying to bully him. They were trying to tell him what he can and can't do, and they threatened to pull their money and their support if he wouldn't toe the line 100%. They didn't ask for 90%. They didn't ask for 80% because he was already at 80 or 90%. They asked for 100%. You can't platform Tucker. Anybody who even says the word platform, you're out. It sounds too lefty to me. We can't platform him. He's dangerous. And there are a lot of homosexuals in the conservative movement. And I don't mean that like in a sexual way. I mean that in a South Park gay kind of way. There are a lot of like effeminate Finocchios. Like I said, I'm seeing them pop up. They're on Fox News. They're becoming prominent, content creators, and they're real, and it's like, I'm not following them. It's even like Scott Pressler. And I respect what Scott Pressler's doing. We got to get right, though. Are we voting same day paper ballots, or are we chasing the ballot, banking the vote? What are we doing? You know, but even the fact that our leading, you know, ballot guy is a open homosexual is like, how am I supposed to reconcile that? Christian Zionists. Oh, I'm going too far tonight. I'm sorry. Whoa, we can't go there. All right. I get it. It's, hey, you know, you're watching Royce White. It is what it is. I tell it like it is. I got a lot of questions. We're going to ask the last few questions that I have on the other side of the break. Again, Royce White, InfoWars, The Alex Jones Show, Sunday night. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app. and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Barring a miracle in the courts, InfoWars should be shut down somewhere close to January 1st. But that's just a website. It's just these studios. The InfoWar belongs to the people of America and the world. The population doing their own research, getting involved with the community, and studying what the globalists are doing, exposing them and resisting them. And we've come from basically 1% of the population knowing what was happening 31 years ago when I got involved in the fight, to close to half of the people, not just in America, but around the world, being incredibly awake and engaged and informed. And so that's so exciting. And we have fought so hard together, that's why we've been targeted. Because the globalists want to take us off the air so that we can't continue to tell the truth. But this operation is just one manifestation of the InfoWars. So I want to thank all of you over the decades. InfoWars has been around 28 years for not just supporting the InfoWar, but being the InfoWar. Now, that said, the legendary shopping cart, InfoWarsStore.com, with all the great products that kept us on the air through all those fights, it's still up and operating. Everything is still being shipped out. Within a day or two of your orders coming in, and two of our fan favorites are available for the last time at InfoWarsStore.com. These just came in, brand new, fresh, Ultimate Fish Oil, the three certified best types of fish oil that do such incredible things for your body. Last up to 18 to 24 months, so you can also save it if you need to. And again, it is documented to be so good for your mind, your cardiovascular system, your immune system, and so much more. Fish oil, period, is great. Ours is the highest grade because it's been cold pressed, meaning it wasn't heated up or boiled. It wasn't homogenized. So you get the full effect. That is back in stock for a limited time for 40% off at InfoWarsStore.com. And Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. It's been out now for 8 years. Hard to believe that. When we first did this with a top manufacturer, no one else had ever done it. We went to them. We said, what's the strongest turmeric concentrate on the market? And they said about 75%, and we put it out. That's what we'd gone to them. We said, well, how high can you go? They said 95% curcuminoid. That's what is the thing that does the great effects of anti-inflammatory, overall health, immune system, you name it, in turmeric. And they explained, listen, you don't need to go that high. Just raw turmeric capsules are 4%, and people get amazing, amazing responses from it. 75 is just over the top. I said, no, go 95%. Now the industry all over the place has gone to 95% curcuminoid. So we are continuing to trailblaze and be leaders in this. So it is your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site and the legendary fight. Thank you so much for your support. Now stock up while you can on Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil.
There are many whites who act friendly toward Negroes. A fox acts friendly toward the lamb. Mm-hmm. And usually the fox is the one who ends up with the lamb chop on his plate. Mm-hmm. The wolf doesn't act friendly, and therefore the wolf has more difficulty in getting the lamb chop in his plate.
I'd like to point out, though, that...
I say that because it is usually the... If you study the structure of the Negro community, mm-hmm. economically, politically, civically, psychologically, and otherwise, it's controlled by the white liberal, mm-hmm. who usually poses as the friend of the Negro, who actually differs from the white conservative in the same way that the fox differs from the wolf. Their appetite is the same. Mm-hmm. Their motives are the same. It's only their mannerisms and methods that differ.
Mm-hmm. I would agree that no doubt there have been a large number of whites who have posed as liberals and as friends of the Negro and who have time and again betrayed the Negro. On the other hand, I think one could point to a large number of whites who have struggled for civil rights,
for
equality, and have got little or nothing out of it, other than quite a few bruises.
Give me an example.
Well, the large number of white students who have gone into the South, for example, working for SNCC and other organizations.
Not working for SNCC or other organizations, but working for the white political machines who benefit by the voting efforts of Negroes.
Okay, I'll be more specific. I would cite Herbert Hill, for example, as a kind of person who has championed Negro job rights, for example, in New York City and elsewhere. He has fought the political machine.
First time I met Herbert Hill personally was when they were picketing to stop the working on the Harlem Hospital in Harlem. Negroes for 10 years had to fight the city to get an annex built on the Harlem Hospital, because in Harlem we need a hospital more so than anything else. Our people are sick, plus we do a lot of cutting and shooting of each other, though we profess to be nonviolent. And Herbert Hill brought his forces out and stopped the working on that site. This is the first time I ever saw him. Then when work was brought to a halt on a hospital in Harlem, the same Negroes tried to stop the work at the Downstate Medical Center in Brooklyn, which is predominantly white. They were out there for 3 months during the summer, couldn't stop anything. And I never saw Herbert Hill out there one time. Now, whenever it takes a stoppage of something that's going to affect the white man, you find the white liberal absent. But when it involves something that primarily will affect the best interests of black people and black people only, then that white liberal is present. Herbert Hill is the labor secretary for the NAACP. Mm-hmm. And if he was interested in black people, he would prepare a black man with the type of knowledge and understanding of the labor troubles involving black people that would enable a black man to sit in the same position as secretary of labor or labor secretary in the NAACP. I'm suspicious of whites who join Negroes and always have to be in the lead, who always have to be the head, who always have to be at the top in Negro organizations. Those whites who really have the interest of blacks at heart, let them give some advice to some Negroes and stand on the sideline. But don't join
Welcome
the organization
back.
And then get at the head of it and pose as a friend of Negroes. Well,
the great Malcolm X. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday night. I'm your host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we got good old Malcolm X clip there giving some fresh truth bombs on the relationship between the white liberal and the black community. I said earlier, you know, and Malcolm X was considered a radical, and sure, he was Muslim, and even more noteworthy, he seemed to have an affection for the communist perspective of things. And people got to understand the way that the world changes. The early black civil rights leaders opted for the communist ideology because to them, capitalism was the root of all evil. So the natural choice was, what's the opposing ideology? And you look, even today, you would ask a Malcolm X and say, if you saw the trajectory of the communist movement and how, despite their having transgender jihadists now, which wasn't on my 2025 bingo card, but, you know, it's a reality today. But, you know, Malcolm X, very conservative, obviously had a deep religious faith and practice. And he'd be very hard pressed to convince me that a Malcolm X would have ever agreed with a transgender woman breastfeeding a child as if it were regular breast milk. You just have a tough time getting me to believe that Malcolm X would stand with these people today. Malcolm X would probably have completely defected from the pro-black civil rights movement if he could see where the LGBTQ has taken it today. And the LGBTQ does have it. But again, you know, like I said earlier, black people aren't just voting Democrat because they're stupid. They're not just voting Democrat because they believe the propaganda. Black people are voting Democrat because they're picking a winner. And we have an intuition about who will win and who will lose in all of these political fights. The human being, despite their overall intelligence or their their lack thereof education or whatever the case may be, people have a sort of spiritual intuition, you know, a survival intuition about who has the power. The Democrats and liberals' number one lie is that they frame their political movement as though they're fighting the power. They're not fighting the power. They have the power. The Democrat liberal order has run the world for the last 60 years. They have the power. And at the beating heart of that power is the nation of Israel. Our foreign policy. We don't have our own foreign policy. We don't have an authentic foreign policy. Our entire foreign policy is Great Britain's foreign policy. We're in a war with Russia. The great game is Great Britain's foreign policy. We're in a war with China's revenge for the opium wars. That's why they're sending us fentanyl. Revenge for the opium wars. Great Britain's foreign policy. And then there in Israel, that's all Great Britain's foreign policy. It's time for America to become America. For the first time since the American Revolutionary War. We are in a second revolutionary war. Hopefully this one doesn't have to be kinetic. Hopefully this one can be political and ideological, spiritual in nature. Hopefully it doesn't have to be kinetic. But we are in a second revolutionary war in this country as citizens. We have to understand what Americanism even is, really. We have to decide that. That's the change, the turmoil that the America First and MAGA movement are going through. We're having a conversation, a necessary conversation about what this country really is. Is this country a set of load-bearing walls and interlocutor security agreements around the world? Is that what America is supposed to be? Or is America the land of the free and the home of the brave? A nation of shopkeepers, independent business owners and agrarian farmers, rugged individualists, men who carry everything they need on their belt. Is that what America is? Or is America this sort of cosmopolitan, highbrow, intellectual, credentialized, scientific, managerial class of global elites? We get to decide. But it's going to be decided by your participation. Give me the first 100 names in the phone book. I'm of that thinking. Give me the first 100 names in the phone book before the first 100 PhDs from the Ivy League. And that includes you too, JD. Vance stood in the breach, stood by President Trump. Got to respect that. Got to appreciate that. Changed his tune on President Trump. A lot of us have. So did Tulsi. So did RFK Jr. A lot of us have changed our opinions over the years. The more we are, in lockstep with our former selves, the less we have grown, unless you were spot on in the beginning, like Alex. You know, Alex can actually say, hey, I've been saying the same thing for 20 years, which is most likely why they go after him the way they do. Because not only is he right, he's been right for a long time. But a lot of us have changed, and that's okay. Change is inevitable. The question is, which direction are we moving toward? Which direction are we moving in? And I don't trust these Ivy League guys. Sorry. They were enculturated in a framework of politics and geopolitics and foreign policy that is repugnant to the America First and MAGA movement. And I'm not talking about JD, because I think the things that JD has said on our foreign policy is in an alignment with much of the MAGA and America First movement, even Israel. I think JD's on the record saying, hey, you know, we have a relationship with Israel, but American citizens are going to come first. But you all as citizens have to hold them to that, and we have to hold the president to that. And again, ask yourself this question. In fairness to President Trump, and the whole Epstein thing is a blunder. It's a huge blunder. It's going to continue to be a blunder. Who knows what's going on there? There's so much espionage and deep state muck in this Epstein deal, I can't even make heads or tails of it. How do I know? How does the average American citizen know who's sitting at home, whether the emails are real, whether they were cooked, whether they were with the pictures, the AI? I'm looking at videos. You almost got to go to the comments and see if other people think it's AI because the stuff looks so real. It's hard to know what's real and what's not. And that's also an indictment of us. We let our society get to a place where it's hard to know what's real and what's fake. I understand. But in fairness to President Trump, again, like I said earlier, in fairness to the president, do you think that President Trump would have been able to win in 2024 if he didn't have the support of some in the Jewish lobby? I mean, this is a now we can talk about ideology. We can talk about, the purity of the politics, if you want, and I'm all for that. And we can have one set of conclusions when we talk about the ideological and the purity of the politics. And we can have another set of conclusions when we talk about the strategic. That's kind of how the art of war in Western society and all of society undermines our claims about moral and ethical integrity, right? Because in a sense, you have to deceive your enemies, at least in modern warfare, especially. You have to deceive your enemies in order to have a chance at victory. So in that deception, you're kind of giving way to the sins of dishonesty, right? But we kind of measure for that and go, well, when we get to war, certain rules are off. Okay. Well, we're in a war now. We are in a war right now. Make no mistake about it. It's another issue I have with this Christian community. Oh, Royce, don't use profanity. You guys have a blind loyalty to any veteran who steps up to run for office, wears a suit with a silk tie and a stocking and puts an American flag on his lapel and doesn't use four-letter words, and you'll support him. Even though you know when he was protecting this country there in that sand desert that those guys were using profanity every single day in the blaze of bullets in battle. But we say, oh, well, they were at war, so we make an exception for their profanity. We're at war here right now. In fact, the reason they have to go fight a war over there is because we're not willing to fight the war we should be fighting right here. That's, you know, another entirely different conversation. Point is, we have to ask ourselves, do we think President Trump could win? All the people who are saying, hey, he's become the establishment. He's become the machine. He's become the system. Do we think that President Trump could have had success in 2024 if he hadn't played the game a little bit or a lot of bit? Do we really think he could have won? The answer is no. So the question becomes then, was it important for him to win in 2024 fundamentally? And that goes back to this, you know, this bigger question is like, when we're having this argument between America First and MAGA and what the movement is going to be, fundamentally, we have to ask ourselves, do we want to have a country or not? And is the process, is the pathway to us having the country we want to have, walk along a road where we have a country while we get there? Because we could just blow the whole thing up. I mean, that's possible. Again, I don't think a lot of you are as ready for that scenario as you claim. Certainly the left isn't, but I don't know if the right is either. You know, there are a lot of highbrow country club, let's call them, suburban sort of yuppie Christians as well. I don't know if you're as ready for the 1776 revolution as you claim on social media. Actually, I know you're not, because I could tell by, let me just, without being insulting, I don't want to insult people, but let's just be real. I can tell by your physique that you ain't ready for no war. I can tell by the way you're built, you're not ready for a war. You're not ready to survive out there in the wild. You're not ready for the Hunger Games. I can tell by the way you're built. I'm a mixed martial artist. I can tell by the way a lot of you are built. I can tell by the way a lot of you breathe that you ain't ready for a war. Come on now, let's be real. So we want to have a country while we're on the road to fixing the country. So if that's the case, there are things that President Trump is going to have to do that won't make any sense to us whatsoever. Just like there have been things that many leaders have had to do throughout the course of history that won't make any sense to us whatsoever in retrospect, things that only they knew they had to do because they were in that position. Now, does that grant does that mean that you shouldn't question it? No, I'm not saying that at all. You should question it, and you should question it with the utmost intensity. Question President Trump, please. You have to. It's your duty. It's your sacred honor as an American citizen to question the things that he's doing. The question I'm asking you is, are you going to quit because you don't like your answers or because you don't get one? Quitting's not an option. In our nation's darkest hour, if you're an American citizen, quitting isn't an option. Questioning is a duty. Quitting isn't an option. So we're going to figure this out. Now, what do we have to really figure out? At the bottom of this thing, you know, hemispheric defense, hemispheric geopolitical strategy is the only thing that makes sense. We got to understand the Chinese have already won. They're out manufacturing us 50-1 on essential military products. If we keep going the way we're going, our Navy is going to look like, a fly on an elephant's ass compared to the Chinese. They've already won. Go back to Mackinder's land theory. He who controls Eastern Europe controls the heartland. He who controls the heartland controls the Afro-Eurasian world island. With the advancement of modern warfare, the person who's going to win and dominate the natural resources are going to be the people who can walk to the things they need. The CCP can walk to the things that it needs. And we have to pull back from this global dollar empire, where we're the reserve currency and our greatest export is our dollar. And we print money, we borrow money to keep our lights on and pay the bills or pay to go to wars that we end up not winning. We're just getting bled dry by the Chinese. That's what's happening. We're just getting bled dry by the CCP. Let's just talk about what it really is. There is a new multipolar world. It already exists. Your politicians are sold out to the Chinese in so many ways. Right now, we're in a multipolar war. We are on a crash course with the CCP. The question is how this whole war is going to go down. Now, the CCP are smart because they have a much older civilization than ours. And they do. We're talking about America. I don't want to count the entire Westphalian nation state history. We're not taking the West all the way back to the Roman Empire. Even if we did, the Chinese still have an older civilization than we do. So they think in much longer terms than we do. And I know people have already, this is why the intellectual elites, the Kissingers and everybody else from the school of David Frum and whatnot, they say, oh, it was the inexorable rise of China. The second law of thermonuclear dynamics is the inexorable rise of China. Hence the managed decline of the West. They believed in that. They believed in the managed decline of the West. They managed the decline of the West. You're living in the managed decline of the West. In fact, you could argue that some of these outrageous psyops that have been run on us have been to expedite the decline of the West. So, you know, you're living in it. Yeah, we're going to take our country back. The question is, what do we actually do? Okay, well, it's still a game about energy and resources until 3i Atlas, pops down on the planet and changes the course of history with their energy innovations. And they're going to teach us how to, use a 0-point gravity to power our tractors and farm the land. Until that happens, okay, it's still about energy and resources. 50% of the world's resources are in that hemisphere, and 50% of the world's resources are in this hemisphere. And we need to be looking at taking control of all of them. That's the adult conversation. That's the big boy conversation. We need to be looking at taking control of all of them. We already subsidize all of them. We are the security guarantee for the entire Western Hemisphere anyway. Your tax money goes to put on a puppet theater about international sovereignty anyway. The entire United Nations is one big political theater disguised to lie about the status of nations' sovereignty. as legitimate nations. There are no legitimate nations, really. In this regard, in this consideration, your nation is only as legitimate as you can fight off your enemies. We saw that in Iraq. We saw that in Afghanistan. We saw that in Libya. We're seeing that right now between Russia and Ukraine. We fear that in China and Taiwan. The United Nations is a fugazi, which is why we should pull out of it, because it's just a one big global propaganda machine. The only nations are nations who have the have and the have-nots. They're very Darwinian in that sense. Hemispheric defense. We are the predominant power in the Western Hemisphere, and we need to start to act like it. We need to start to prepare to make that shift away from Asia, away from the Middle East, away from Europe. Look, Europe, you got to fend for yourselves. Sorry. Sorry, we're not sorry. You got to fend for yourselves. And we bid you farewell. I mean, we hope you're victorious. It would be great if the Westphalian civilization could prevail and the continent of Europe could maintain their predominance in the Eastern Hemisphere. That would be an ideal situation for us. But if you can't, we're not going down with you. Because we didn't come to the party with you. Sorry. These Atlanticists can talk about the Commonwealth all they want to. We fought a war to separate from the British Empire, and we're going to be separating. You want to give your country to Muhammad? You want to give your continent to Muhammad? You go ahead, okay? Here in the United States of America, we will be challenging the takeover of the Mohammeds. But we will also be challenging the takeover of the Shapiros. Line them all up. We're ready for the fight. We're ready for the challenge. Last but not least, I just want to talk about IQ. IQ is not a Christian idea, okay? I got to get Alex to set up a conversation between me and Nick. I think it'd be legendary. IQ is not a Christian idea. The spirit and the intellect are inextricably linked. The Hebrew Bible, the Bible, shows us from great Catholic theologians like St. Thomas Aquinas. How does man have peace? Man can have peace when he submits his reason, his passion to his reason and his reason to God. He can have peace within himself. Then he can have peace with others. The intellect can be developed. It's not static. Are there baselines? Yes. But part of our evangelical mission is to introduce people to Scripture because it helps develop the intellect. And through the development of the intellect, they can also develop the spirit. I've had a great time this evening. I hope you enjoyed the show. It's an honor to host. Alex Jones is an American hero. They may say I'm unelectable because I believe that, and that's just fine. But we're going to save this country. Vox Populi, Vox Dei. God bless you. God bless America. Godspeed. We'll see you next time. From the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Have a good night.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The Methylene Blue, yeah, the Methylene Blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on.
But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support with so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 90% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry. The InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products, the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time. So take action now. InfoWarsStore.com.